We all know, we instantly think of Goliath, right? That he had a big obstacle in Goliath. But actually, David's biggest obstacle was Saul, because Saul was the Lord's anointed, and yet Saul went after David, right? And those things, all that negativity that Saul, and that envy, and that all that stuff that Saul brought to David's life was in a much longer battle than Goliath. Goliath's battle lasted like a couple minutes, and the giant was dead. But Saul, the battle of negativity and fear and all those things lasted quite a while. If you think you are insignificant, no purpose, what good is in you? I'm not gifted in what you would like to be gifted in. Or you think, I'm not gifted in what I'd like to be gifted in. Just don't think of those things. Think of what God has for you. Think of what you are constant in now, today, and focus on those gifts and be faithful in that. The anointings will come. Think on those things with the help of Jesus. There was a young man that was a grandson of Saul. And here's the thing that just totally blew me away when you think of David and Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, it's a big word. So here's David, and let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9 in your Bibles if you have them with you. Mephibosheth thought he was a dog. He thought he was lowly and abased and the scum of the earth type of mentality. And I want you to think of what David did in this case and think of it, what Jesus does in your life when you think you are lowly and abased and Jesus doesn't see you. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, it starts like this. So here's David. He was, just to kind of give a review of what happened before this, of course we know this was after David was king. This was after David was anointed by Samuel. When Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint him, remember the story of how David, he was a shepherd boy. He wasn't even at the feast. He wasn't invited to the feast. His father needed someone to take care of the sheep. You would have thought there would have been a servant that could have taken care of the sheep, that David could have been at the feast. But Samuel did not know that David was not there. So he came into Bethlehem, and the people trembled. It says, when Samuel came to Bethlehem, the people trembled, and they didn't know what he's coming for. But he had a... because this wasn't just one man walking down a lonely trail, I don't think. I think he came with men and people because God told him to bring a heifer. God told Samuel to bring a heifer to sacrifice. And here when Samuel was told to go to anoint David, Samuel was scared of what Saul would think. Because remember, Saul was still living, and Samuel had obviously spent a lot of time with Saul because Samuel was a judge and kind of transitioned the people of Israel from the time of judges into the kings, right? And so Samuel was a huge, how would you say, he was a very important leader of that time. And people were trembling when Samuel came to Bethlehem to anoint David. And David wasn't there at that feast. He called Jesse and his sons, and because he didn't want to just come and sacrifice, because God told him, go and sacrifice, but God told him, just so that Saul doesn't get suspicious, tell him you're going to sacrifice and then anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king, the new king. And so you know the story from there. You know how David was called from the field. His older brothers were not the one. And here's this somewhat insignificant person that was tending the sheep was anointed to be king. And now, you know, fast-tracking through that time, you know, all the things that Saul did to Samuel and all the wickedness that Saul did to David, all the wicked things that Saul did to David after he was jealous and all those things, and David's love for Jonathan. And then here is a son of Jonathan that just happens to be still living. And what would make David say this in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1? David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. And I believe this is in the NIV version. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Well, now, what in the world would cause someone to go through what David did and then think about someone from the house of Saul, someone in the lineage of Saul? What would make him think that? Is that not the anointing of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God upon someone to think about giving kindness? This young man, Mephibosheth, he was injured when after Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. They heard about it, and then the news came, and they the nurse that was with the younger ones grabbed Mephibosheth and said, "We need to," you know, they were thinking that they're coming for him next, right? Anyone in Saul's family was the target. So she grabbed this young man and tripped and fell, and he became lame. And that's this young man. So this is who he is. And Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Maker, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Maker, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore you all the land that belongeth to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Can you imagine that? And when you think of this story, think of what Jesus did for you. If you think you're insignificant or that God doesn't care about every little thing that you're going through, here was a lame guy that thought he was nothing. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" See, he thought of himself as a dead dog. But then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family." Wouldn't it have been tempting for David to just keep all the stuff that, after all, Saul's daughter was his wife, I believe, right? David was given a wife from one of Saul's daughters. "You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servants to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Imagine that. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. So this goes on for another generation, right? You see the turn of events when kindness is given unto those that give wickedness, right? May we be those types of people that give kindness to those that wrong us. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Yes, God wants to bring us out from our Lodabar to the king's palace. Do we sometimes feel lame and maimed and broken? But this morning, the Lord wants to bring you out of Lodabar into his palace and anoint you his child. What a wonderful thought this morning. Isn't that awesome? That God reached down to us. Last night I went to the meetings. I wasn't going to go. I thought, you know what, I should probably just rest and stay home and prepare for this morning, but I couldn't resist going, and it was a wonderful message on humility. And I was thinking too, as we're faithful, if we want the anointing of God, like we heard last night, for those that were there, what a powerful message on humility. But in Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You see the humility in David's life. He could have killed Saul many times, but he spared him, right? And here, he's doing a wonderful thing for a poor, lowly man, lame and maimed, who felt like a dog. He brought him into the king's table. Well, that's what the Lord does for us. Talk about humility and fear of the Lord. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. On the flip side, what do we fear this morning? Is there anything in your life that you fear this morning other than the Lord, like something in your life? He wants us to bring all, A-L-L, yes, all your fears to the Lord this morning. Another thing that's very important in being faithful and having an anointed life is to die daily. And this was something that's a thought that came to me this week. You know how Paul talked about, I die daily. Funerals are often a sad time. We don't like to go to them. But I thought, have you been to the funeral of your old man today yet? Here's a thought that came to me this week. I thought, you know, why don't we get those funerals out of the way first thing every morning, right? And how much that'll help your day. And it hit me, you know. Yes. Have you died to yourself? Have you humbled yourself? Have you died to the Lord, to yourself today? Just a thought. Every morning when you get up, think of that in the coming weeks. Think, you know what? My old man is dead. I'm going to have the funeral of my old man again right now. He's not going to rise up today. I'm going to serve the living God. Because we know the devil, his head was crushed, but his tail still, the serpent's tail still swings around and tries to get us sometimes, right? And our old man does have to die. It does have to die daily. But as we go down the road, you know, if we do that ceremony, if you will, in the morning of dying to self, put ourselves to death. Like Paul said, I die daily. It's going to give you an anointed day. You're going to be full of Jesus, not of yourself, when that person cuts you off on the road, or when that person berates you or nails you to the ground, or whatever that negative thing might happen. Nobody has that in their life, do they? When someone kind of, it can be even a demeanor of someone, right? Making you feel like you're insignificant, or that you're dumb or stupid or whatever it is, right? How do we react to that, right? Those things do happen in life. Number four, bold prayers. When we die to self, now we can have bold prayers in our day, right? We're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about what we can do for the Lord, or what he wants for us to do today. After all, we are invited to the table, to the king's table. Our identity is we are now a son. That's who we are. if they check your DNA, you are now a son of the Most High God. You are royalty. You are part of His family. So we can pray bold prayers. There'll be obstacles along the way that will need bold prayers. There's a story about George Mueller. This is a man talking about George Mueller. He says, I went to America some years ago with the captain of a steamer who was a very devoted Christian. When we were off the coast of Newfoundland, he said to me, this is the captain saying this, the last time I crossed here 5 weeks ago, something happened which revolutionized the whole of my Christian life. We had George Mueller of Bristol on board. I had been on the bridge, and you know what the bridge is in a big ship, right? That's where the captain pilots the ship, right? I had been on the bridge 24 hours and never left it. Oh, and by the way, there was very, very much fog, and they couldn't travel at a normal speed or whatever. And this captain had been on the bridge 24 hours and never left it. George Mueller came to me at the bridge and said, Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec, in Quebec, Saturday afternoon. The captain says, it is impossible. It is impossible, I said. This is the captain telling the story. Very well, if your ship cannot take me, this is what George said, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement, a preaching engagement, for 57 years. Let us go down into the chart room and pray. The captain looked at that man of God and thought to him, he says, I looked at that man of God and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum can that man have come from? Maybe you've read this story before. But the captain says, like, what lunatic would tell me, the captain that's captain this ship, that we're going to make it to Quebec by Saturday? What lunatic asylum can that man have come from? I never heard of such a thing as this. Mr. Mueller, I said, do you know how dense this fog is? No, he replied, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. He knelt down and prayed one of the most simple prayers, and when he had finished, I was going to pray. But he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. First, you do not believe he will answer. And second, I believe he has already answered, and there is no need whatever for you to pray about it. I looked at him and said, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years. This captain also was a Christian, right? I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I had failed to get audience with the king. Oh, sorry, that was George telling the captain. Yeah. George said to the captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get audience with the king. Get up, captain, and open the door, and you will find the fog gone. I got up, and the fog was indeed gone. Saturday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec for his engagement that he had there to preach the word. Bold prayers. I've heard many bold prayers here in this church, and I know that God has answered so many bold prayers, and I almost feel guilty challenging you, faithful brothers and sisters, on bold prayers, but it can be an encouragement for those that may have any doubts that God can answer your bold prayers about whatever obstacle is in your life this morning. Keep praying and believing. Move ahead in faith. God will show you and guide you and give you peace. If you have been turned down, don't give up. Press in faith. God rewards a faithful heart. Your prayers can be that God will prepare you to be, you know, if you're praying about a life partner, if you're praying about anything big in your life, where God wants to take you to serve Him, whatever that might be, God will prepare you to be the wife or husband that God wants you to be, the father that you need to be, the mother that you need to be, the grandfather that God wants you to be, the grandmother that God wants you to be. that you are breaking the curse of sin and moving ahead, that you were created by God for such a time as this. A story is told about Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China, but his grandfather, he was late for his own wedding, and maybe I've shared this before, but I don't know very many people that are late for their own wedding, because that's just something you don't miss, you know, getting your suit on and getting all the things done right. You know, Jaden, you weren't late for your wedding, right? Nobody's late for their wedding. But Hudson Taylor's grandfather was late to his own wedding, and they didn't know where he was, but they found him in the barn. I think if I remember the story correctly, he was in the hay mow or in the straw mow or on the den floor or wherever, just praying, saying, God, make me the man and husband that my wife needs. And he got carried away in his prayers, and they found him there and brought him to the wedding. Needless to say, everything did work out, and I think after his wife saw that he didn't desert her, that he was, didn't run off on marrying her, I think everything worked out, and his wife caught up to his level of earnestness in his life for God, and it all worked out. And I say that to say this, that even then, Hudson Taylor's father, who was a result of that earnestness in prayer, and Hudson Taylor's grandfather wanting to be the man that God wanted him to be, Hudson Taylor's father spent much time in the closet praying for the people of China. And out of that prayer and earnestness with him, the second generation, that's where Hudson Taylor then became a missionary to China. We've been hearing about this, the Quiet Place, in the meetings. For those that are there, if you haven't heard the messages, please go back to them and listen to them. If you haven't been there, there's just been a wonderful community support there. And I was probably 9 years old when I heard Nelson preach for the first time. Yeah, 1984. And I can still repeat those songs that I heard back when I was 9 years old, because I've told you before, I lost my sister, Carolyn. Well, Nelson, he has a daughter, Carolyn, that was about the same age. So there was something special about us going to hear them sing. And they had a Carolyn that reminded me of my sister. Even in some of her looks, like, wow, she looks so much like my sister did, and she sang so beautifully. And it was an encouragement to us. Anyway, why did I say this? I just see where God has brought Nelson. He's 75 years old now, a man of God. But I found the messages. I remember hearing all those messages as a young man, and how it seemed almost scary back then. Maybe it was because of where I was in my life, but I found the messages. Maybe it's the changes that God done in my life, but I believe God has made changes and brought humility upon these old men. That's what's so wonderful about old men that keep preaching in humility, because it's so powerful. The Holy Spirit is so gentle, and when a man like that has grown in grace and in the knowledge of God and preaches those powerful words, but in such a calm and yet gentle way, I see so many people being softened to God and all those things. So may the Lord be blessed. Those that are listening, I know my mother probably is, she's so faithful. And as we get older, purpose in your heart now that when you're too old to move, too old to get out of your lazy boy, I shouldn't say lazy boy, that's kind of a bad word, right? But Peter talked about prayer and his father in a wheelchair last Sunday. Your work is not done, even though you aren't seen. You're at home, shut in your bed, in your wheelchair. My mother, she's a faithful prayer warrior. Bless her heart. Purpose in your heart now. I sometimes ramble. I think my wife calls me, says I have ADHD or whatever it is, that it's going from one thing to the next and can't stay focused on one thing, but forgive me for that. What I was saying was that as you get older, purpose now that you will be a prayer warrior for God. And great things will happen for the glory of God. If people don't pray, if people don't seek God, what, you know, just like David Miller shared last night, he was faithful. He was in charge of back, he talked about an instance, and for those that were there, he talked about an instance when he was younger, leading out in the prayer groups and that of one of the first meetings that he was involved with, and how the Lord convicted him, and he had to go to the altar that night and confess pride in his life. And then that night when they went home, his unsaved neighbor was born again because he had that, his heart was right with the Lord. He didn't just drive home and go in his driveway and go in. He was convicted of pride in his life, and then he reached out to his neighbor. It just happened to be that his neighbor was so ripe for the Lord, and the timing of it was such that he got saved, his neighbor got saved that night. So the timing of things, when you hear the word of the Lord, when you hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, do not delay. Don't care what people think. Don't let the fear of man keep you down. Just do it. You'll never be the same. Turn to 1 John 2, chapter 2, for closing verses. Prayer, so just to kind of review what I just said, you know, we want the anointing of God. Be faithful. We need to die to those lies of the devil and the negativity that he wants to bring. You know, we need to be humble. We need to fear the Lord. We need to die daily. We need to have bold prayers. We need to understand our identity. And we will be anointed and continually anointed with God's presence and His Spirit, and it won't leave us. But when we let pride and those things come in, that's when the Spirit of the Lord cannot work in us. So, in 1 John 2, verse 20, in closing, just to leave these verses with us, we know that we're in the last days, or we can feel an urgency. I feel so blessed to have so many young people serving the Lord and interested in the work of God and faithful. You see that this past week at the meetings, and I know we will see it again this coming week. But just keep on doing what you're doing. Be faithful. 1 John 2, verse 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Sorry, I apologize. It's verse 18 that I was going to start with. 1 John 2, verse 18. "Little children, it is the..." I knew something wasn't lined up the way it was meant to be. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." This is the things that there's so much out there trying to seduce us. we need to keep dying daily. We cannot open our door like Saul did after he was king, you know. He let things seduce him. He let the people and the fear of man take control of his life. But the anointing, we want the anointing that, like David had, continually. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him, children of God. And now, oh, that's just a heading there, and it says, children of God. And now, little children, and I believe I know that I'm speaking to all the, you wonderful children of God. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. May the Lord bless you. May you have a wonderful rest of your day. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the humility of our Lord Jesus, that is where it all started for us here in this day that we live in. And for such a time as this, be faithful in everything that God has called you today.